All right, so we have Carlos here tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you how you work in us. We come to you, Lord, and you just fill us and give us newness of life. And you put us in places we could not dream of, Lord, and how you use us. And we thank you for who you are, Lord, in this place, in this church. Thank you for this building, this pulpit, Lord, the pastor. Lord, anoint the rest of this evening, everything that will be said. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to talk a little bit about Galatians chapter 5. A little bit about running. This is God's message. I hope it comes all right. Just stick with me. I'll stick with it. And so if anybody runs in here, you know, you can relate to certain things. So running, you know, jogging is, I'm thinking of running, not so much sprinting, but some people do sprint, whatever that may be. Running, we got to think of a few conditions, right? You think of a condition of the road when you run. That's important, right? Whether it's hilly, it's a rough area, or is it smooth, you know? Running on track's the best because at least it absorbs some impact. Running on the street is pretty tough. That's why they have special shoes. And, you know, there's a lot of debates of what shoes you should wear and all that. But that's another story. So running, you think of the condition of the road. You think of the condition of your body also. You know, am I able to run a certain way? You know what I mean? Like sprinting, for example. I mean, not everyone can sprint. You know, that's tough on your body. Look at Galatians here. Galatians chapter 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I love Galatians. I always turn to you, like just talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, right? Like you see this being addressed. Paul addresses this with the Galatian church, Colossian church, Ephesian church, because constantly talks about the Jews spying in and the freedom that Christ gave to the Gentiles. And they always wanted to put some restrictions on you, you know. And so Paul's constantly addressing the freedom that we have in Christ. So which is amazing because they didn't like that. They didn't like that because they followed certain rules. They followed their own rules, actually, and laws. And they see Christians, you know, the Gentiles being saved by grace. And they're like, no, these guys are too free, you know. They just want to put burdens on people. And that's what you see, like in John, Jesus would address, the priest. He goes, you put burdens on people that you cannot bear yourself, but you put it on them that they would bear it, but you can't bear it yourself, you know. So when he's talking about, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And you think of what do you think when you think of free, you know? Think of, for example, John 8:32, that a disciple, right? Let me turn there. And then Jesus said to the Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples, indeed, you know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, it's interesting. Pastor Chuck actually mentioned this. It says that Jesus, you know, like there's a difference between believing, like we're talking about people just sitting and not moving in their faith. Like many believe, but following Jesus, becoming a disciple is something different, right? There's many times that they're asked to believe and not actually follow. But if following, you're gonna take up your cross, right? You're gonna take up your cross and be a disciple. And the moment you make that decision, you know, there's opposition. Like, I think Satan does not want you to get saved, it's obvious. He blinds you that you would not believe. That's number one, right? But you see this, and you'll see this yourselves. You study people. We study the word, study people. And then the moment people get saved, it's like he doesn't want you to follow Jesus. Because Jesus says, follow me, you know. So believe and follow him. So he doesn't want you to get saved. The moment he gets saved, he doesn't want you to follow him. You know, because he wants you to just stay. And that's the place we just stay. Many of us just stay. We don't grow. You know, we don't move forward in our faith. But, you know, I don't know how you cannot move forward in your faith. Because the more you get to know God and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more you're going to want to follow him. Because God never stays in the same spot, right? He was always walking, going somewhere. People were always falling. They were end up all over the place, right? That's him. He has work to do, right? And he doesn't sit still in one spot. Because there's stuff, there's people that need to hear the gospel, people that need to get saved. And we have to grow so we don't grow stale, right? And do not be entangled, again, with the yoke of bondage. So this word yoke, I think of Matthew 11:28. It's like one of my favorite passages in St. Louis. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, you look at those three passages, it's just incredible. Like, we look to him, right? And he says, come, take my yoke upon you. Like, you don't get entangled, don't be ensnared with the yoke of bondage. It's a yoke that takes you out, you know, like, you two oxen. Yoke is like what two oxen are yoked together, right? They both pulling. They're both pulling to, you know, cultivate the soil. So they're, you know, heavy creatures, and they're just yanking this yoke. And this is what, so Jesus here in this part, he's talking about that the religious people, the leaders, the priests, are trying to put these yokes on people, right? And they're just like putting them on people and say, now you guys have to pull your own weight, you know what I mean? But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, right? I'm gentle and lowly. Like this, where else do you get that description of Jesus Christ? Like here, right here. I think this is one of the only spots that I am gentle and lowly in heart, you know. That same Jesus, the lion and the lamb, you know. He comes as a lamb, but he's the ferocious lion at the same time. We think of a lion, that's his description, the lion of Judah. And then when he comes again, he's coming as a lion, you know. And he is coming quickly, right, as we heard today. He's coming quickly. He's going to come as a lion. You know, it's a scary thing, the Bible says, to be caught in the hands of an angry God. Can you imagine God angry? The one who spoke creation, but he comes in a different way to us. He says, I come gentle and lowly. And he says, just come to me, you know. Come to me and follow, all right? So, but this word yoke was interesting. I saw one of the Greek words to it is balance. So there's a balance here, right? Like he's the one, imagine the yoke with Christ, we're both yoked together, and he's doing the pulling, really, right? I'm just going with him, right? I'm going for the ride. And so the problem is if I'm doing the pulling, right, and then I'm going to get, like, exhausted. But he says, come, let me do it. My burden is easy, he says, right? So this word is balance. So like as I was talking about running also, if you run a lot, you'll understand something to it is your body becomes imbalanced after a while. Like you need to take care of your body, you know. So like something's called foam rolling, for example. It's like a form of massage you got to do to your body to become back, put those muscles to symmetry. Because one muscle can pull more than the other and become imbalanced. And then you're hindering yourself, right? So like Christ gives us perfect balance that we work with him. You know, and if we, you know, for some reason we are off again, God brings us back to square one, right? It says here on 5:16, says, I say then, walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Like here it is, it's talking about this portion here is the lust of the flesh. It's so the spirit wars against the flesh, you know, this is our flesh. Right here, it's our thinking, like how we think. This is the fleshly thoughts. And if you look, he talks about what are the things of the flesh: drunkenness, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. These things, and he talks about it here and in Colossians 3. So how we think with God is important, right? We can hinder ourselves, right? We cause most of our problems, and it's not the devil. We do it, right? Again, and I think it's part of not being in the Word, not hearing from Him. Right, and I need a word every day, and I don't know, I always think, man, I'm like addicted to God's word. I need a new word every day. Just you know, I can study certain scriptures and go over them, but I'm like always need something. Like it could take me an hour or two, whatever it is. I need to hear something from God for that day, you know. And but we can run in vain. We can run to exhaustion, right? And we can hurt ourselves. We can hurt our bodies, right? But like we run with Christ, and how, so I need like a clear path when I'm running, right? So Hebrews 12:2 talks about this. So I'm going to go to 12:2 here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of God on the throne of God. Sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Like, this is him, Jesus, the one for the joy set before him, right? We look to him. He gives us a clear path, right? And then 12:1, so we can do what? Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, lay us out every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance. Right? So we walk, we stand, and then we run, right? And if we get ensnared and entangled, like God is not waiting for like with a hammer, waiting to condemn us, you know? Because in what John 3:17, Christ has not come into the world that the world be condemned, right? We condemn ourselves by not believing. But he came into the world that we would be saved. You know? So like, let's think Christ. Who is Christ? Right? How do we run this race? You know, we learn of him. We walk. We stand. Right? And we run. Right? That's like, there's something for us. Each one of us, when we think of running, each one of us has a certain race that we run. Not all of us run at the same speed. Right? But when I'm not racing against you or you, I'm racing against myself, you know. I gotta get myself out of the equation and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? He's the author of all life. This is who we're talking about. Like, there's nothing outside of this. You're only here for a purpose, to know Jesus Christ. This is what you're here this morning, is to hear Jesus Christ, to learn Jesus Christ, to walk in him, to stand in him, and to run with him, you know? So, you know, if you don't know this Jesus, you get to know him. There's nothing you're gonna lose, but you're actually your own life, right? Like, and there's two ways you can look at it. Like, whatever you're trying, the Bible says, whatever you're trying to save, you're gonna lose it at the end anyways. So give it up now. You're gonna lose it. But what you're gonna gain is something you cannot get yourself, right? And what you cannot attain it yourself is, it's by grace through faith. You know, just trust him, you know, come to him and trust him, and he loves you, you know, so.
Thanks, Carlos. That's good, huh? We're running. Have you ever felt imbalanced as you run? It's a good point, right? We're running. In our running, we find an imbalance. We say, whoa, what's going on? How come I'm going in circles? We need like a realignment. To be realigned. And the Word of God is so good at realigning us. It's like the chiropractor for my soul. Put me back in place. Okay, I want to speak about something real quick, and then maybe we'll open it up. We can have a discussion about it. But I was with someone this afternoon, and I said something about hearing God. And they said, hold on, time out. They're like, how do I hear from God? And how do I know that I'm hearing from God? And I think that's a great question. Right? Do we underestimate how much we hear from God? And then also, could I overestimate how much I hear from God? And then, so she was saying, she gets into her head about it. She says, I think I'm hearing from God, but then I think that the devil knows I think I'm hearing from God, so he speaks. And then I think, am I just thinking about my own self and projecting that God is thinking what I'm thinking? I said, whoa, time out. Right? But we are that way, aren't we? I say, you're like Princess Bride right now. Like, that's like, you know, that's too much of a mind game. It's simple. And, I like this idea that we tune ourselves in to hear God. When we are saved, when we receive Christ, it says that we are born again and that we are regenerated. And if you think about the body, like that we have ears, we have a mouth, we have hands, we have, you know, we're familiar with the body parts, right? Do we need to sing the song? head, shoulders, knees and toes, right? We got it, right? We have this, but also when we are born again, we have, spiritually we are made new, and we have these spiritual ears, we could say, that we have a way to hear God. We have, our mind is different, we can think differently. My eyes are different, I see differently, right? Christ talks about illuminating things, right? Could it be that I hear God in spiritually? Right? Now, there in the world, there is this idea of spiritualism, right? Have you heard of it? I think so, right? There is the palm reader, there are the tarot cards, there are these things, they are called spiritual. But they are not the spirit of a man. They are with the spirits. It's different, right? With the spirits, and you are communicating with the spirits. It's a dangerous place to play. We don't know. But what I'm talking about is to be spiritually made alive to God. And that's the place where God fellowships with man, is in the human spirit. And he makes that alive so I have fellowship with God. Isn't that beautiful? This is, religion is an attempt to establish connection with God. And we see it in the icons and in the structure of a religion. It could be this is an attempt to communicate with God. You go to the nail salon. I don't go to the nail salon, but my wife would go to the nail salon, and I would sit out front and wait. Right? Riley and Jess were getting their nails done one day, and I was looking at the nail salon, and it just cracked me up, right? Because they got the little Buddha there, and the little Buddha there, and then they have a little offering plate for Buddha. And on this one, they had Fiber One bars that they were offering to Buddha. And it just cracked me up. Right? I know I've said it before, but what is that? Well, it's an attempt to say to the gods, listen, I am desiring contact. I am desiring connection with God. And I think a Fiber One bar is the best way to establish connection with God right now. Right? Depending on where you are, some of it's more in your face. When we travel outside of our comfortable little bubble, we see it more obvious, right? You go to a third world country, maybe it's more prevalent. India, it's unbelievable. There's billions of gods. And the morning rituals in India are loud, because what are they? They're waking up the gods and saying, okay, right? I'm going about my day. Can you be ready? Right? But we have it also. We have these ways of idolizing things, and we look for connection in them. Right? How much time do we spend on these devices? Do you ever look? Do you get the weekly report of how much time you've spent on the device during the day? You say, ooh, gotta back it off a little bit, right? No, we look for connection, and we are looking for it, but God has established a connection with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Carlos is saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are looking for this fellowship with God, you are looking to establish it, come unto me. Who is the scientist that put a satellite up into orbit, and they put on it these records and things in case they came in contact with an alien, that the alien could play the record. Right? Who was it? Anybody with me on this? No. The name is not. It's in the 70s, and there was a guy. Scientist, philosopher kind of guy. Anyway, right? And they sent up into space things that are, to familiarize the other worlds with Earth and who we are and what we do, right? So hopefully they have a record player. I don't know. Like, I don't get it, right? In what language? But we would put so much into trying to establish something, right? But God has spoken to us. He's given us Christ. He's given us the cross. And by the cross, we have fellowship with God. So my question is to us, like, we, at times, we have heard God speak, right? I know in my life I have heard God speak, not, maybe not verbally, and not like a, you know, microphone check, hello Bailey, are you listening? But it has been in my spirit, I know that God is speaking. Now, we could say, is it that I finally heard? Like, when I was listening, God spoke? But I think it's more accurately that God is always speaking, and sometimes I hear it. And I want to rejoice in the truth that sometimes I have heard it. Because when I hear God, I find some guidance, I find some stability, I find some confidence in the life I'm living. So we could naturally be discouraged. We could look at that and say, naturally I'm discouraged by how often I don't hear from God. But how about we turn it around and say, I am encouraged that actually in my life I have heard from God. And now moving forward, I want to expect that I could hear from God. So this could sound like, you know, crazy. Like, what do you mean God is speaking to you? It's like, well, Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If he is my shepherd, wouldn't he be giving me direction? Have you seen the shepherds working? In different places where shepherds work and they have a voice, and then when they speak, their sheep hear and their sheep respond. John 10 talks about it. It's beautiful. Look it up on YouTube. There's tons of videos. Or there's the dogs, the sheep dogs, and they know the voice of the shepherd, and they are always listening for his direction. And, you know, so I'm equating us to sheep dogs, yes. But are we always listening to hear God's direction? That I am going about my day, I am living my life, but I start my day by recognizing God's place in my life and then expecting to hear from him in the day. Right? And so I guess that's what we could talk about. Like, how do you know that you are hearing from God? Because also the devil is a counterfeit. And he could also use that and he could speak. But I don't want to be afraid of that. Instead, I want to be confident in God and hearing God's voice. Not afraid of hearing some other voice. I want to be confident about hearing God's voice. So there's a few Psalms. Psalm 51 verse 8, David says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That means that joy and gladness is present, and God is speaking, and he has joyous words. So, Lord, help me to hear. Make me to hear that instead of depression and discouragement, right? Or instead of fear and anxiety, I want to hear joy and gladness. This could be our prayer. Psalm 50 verse 1 says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun till it's going down. So God has spoken. We said this the other night. God has spoken, and isn't it amazing that we have ears? Yes. Right? We have ears that are designed to hear words spoken. And how has God decided to communicate with us? Through the Word of God, with words. So, God is speaking. How do we hear and how do we know that we are hearing from Him? Isn't that good? Like Carlos just said, they moved to Florida because they prayed and they believed God was leading them. And then Melissa saw clear water and God said, move to clear water, right? Like this is how we live. We don't just do what we want, but we want to hear from God. Right? So, but then in that too is like, I don't just sit there and do nothing, but I am moving. I am active. And I think this is what we say as believers, that we are not afraid to move. But as we are moving, we have our ear tuned to hear the change of direction or the change of plan. Right? Okay, I always think of watching a game, last night watching a hockey game, and you could say, okay, it's the intermission. Okay, Lord, you got, how long is an intermission? Is it like 10 minutes or something? Lord, you got 10 minutes. I'm ready to hear from you. All right, second period, right? And I'm watching. Okay, second intermission, Lord, it's time to speak. Like, do I tell him when it's time to speak, or do I listen for when he's speaking? And as I am moving, as I am living, it could be in the middle of the period, God says hello, and I say, I don't have time right now, right? I don't have Marshawn as the puck. I can't listen right now. Or I could be saying, yes, God, what is it? And he could be putting some name, somebody's name on my heart. He could be telling me to, like, tell my wife something, like, remember, your wife is sitting next to you, right? Like, don't forget the other person in the house. So, I don't know. Like, practically, this is what we say. We live our lives based on the guidance of God. How do we hear from him? So, maybe, yeah, we could talk about that.